Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Right. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. It's the last day of the year. What? Yeah, I'm Jesse. This show is broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkamilam and Squamish speaking peoples. As I mentioned, it's New Year's Eve, the day of New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve day, anyway. And I have a treat for you. And this is, similar to last week's episode, another radio drama, radio play. And this one is something that has always served as a bit of a Christmas classic for myself and my family. And we're not the only ones. This is widely regarded as a Christmas movie, but there's not a lot of Christmas in it, although the themes resonate. But it's also kind of just a winter movie, or in this case, a winter radio play. So we're going to hear this really cool version of It's a Wonderful Life. And you probably know the movie, the inimitable Jimmy Stewart. Well, Jimmy Stewart is not inimitable because everybody has a Merry Christmas movie house or something along those lines, right? But this radio play was produced right after It's a Wonderful Life came out and features members of the cast of the original film, which is a crazy thing that they used to do back then, where they would, you know, a new movie would come out and then the stars of the movie would go on the radio and reenact the movie, which I think we should get back to. Honestly, I could use some audio versions of, I don't know, Wicked 2 or what have you, one battle after another. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Anyway, I hope you enjoy and have a happy new year. And I'll be back live next week. Take care. Enjoy.
Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring James Stewart, Donna Reed, and Victor Moore in It's a Wonderful Life. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we bring you one of the season's most inspiring hits, a Liberty Films production that's been nominated for the highest screen award. Yes, It's a Wonderful Life. And we present it now with its original fine stars, Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. Jimmy in the role which won him a nomination for the best performance of the year. Also in our cast is starred that fine comedian, Victor Moore. It's a Wonderful Life is the drama of a typical American. Might be you, it might be me. He dreams of glory, he lives in hope, he loves and doubts, and only Providence puts a final value on his service to humanity. Our story starts before the war, when life was normal. Shortages were generally unknown, and simple luxuries were abundant. This is the story of George Bailey, citizen of Bedford Falls, New York. George Bailey, who more than anything under the sun wanted to see the world, the wonderful, exciting world that lay somewhere beyond the limits of his hometown. Oddly enough, this story does not begin in Bedford Falls. In fact, it doesn't begin anywhere in the world. It begins in heaven, where the superintendent of angels has just summoned an apprentice angel named Clarence.
Oh, I'm really going down to Earth, sir? Oh, how splendid.
Yes, there's a very discouraged man down there, Clarence, George Bailey. At exactly 10:45 p.m., Earth time, he'll be thinking seriously of ending his life.
Oh, dear, dear, his life.
Now, I want you to stop him if you can. Now, sit down. I'll give you Bailey's case history.
Sir, if I should accomplish my mission, may I perhaps get my wings? I've been waiting over 200 years now, and, well, people are beginning to talk.
Clarence, what's that book?
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, sir. I was reading it when you sent for me.
Oh, fine book. Excellent. Well, you do a good job on George Bailey, and we'll see about your wings.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now, listen. When George Bailey was a boy, two events occurred that you should keep in mind. One was when his young brother, Harry, fell through the ice and almost drowned. George saved him.
Brother fell through the ice. George saved him.
Ever since, George has had a bad ear. All that icy water, you understand.
Yeah, bad ear. Yes, sir.
The other event came a few months later. George used to work after school in Mr. Gower's drugstore. One day, Mr. Gower's only son died of influenza. It was a terrible blow, and poor Mr. Gower tried to lose his grief in whiskey.
Where you been, George? Mrs. Blaine's called twice. What happened to her prescription? You lost it, didn't you?
No, Mr. Gower. Here it is.
Well, you good for nothing. Don't you know that Blaine girl's very sick?
Mr. Gower, my ear. You're hurting my sore ear.
I'll teach you to loaf, you lazy brat.
Mr. Gower, you don't know what you're doing. You put something wrong in those capsules.
Shut up.
Oh, I know you feel bad, but look, Mr. Gower, look. This bottle, you used this bottle to make up the capsules. It's poison.
Poison?
Don't hurt my sore ear again, Mr.
Poison.
Gower.
Oh, George.
That's what George. This deliver, Mr. Gower. All I wanted was to make
George,
sure.
George.
Well, Clarence, that was George Bailey as a boy. When he grew up, he wanted to go to college, but there just wasn't the money. So he worked 4 years in the Building and Loan Association.
Building and Loan Association?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. George's father was in the building and loan business. He and George's uncle, Billy. High ideals and low bank account. Anyway, George worked for his father and saved enough to see him through the university. That summer, though, he was going to Europe. Got a job on a cattle boat. Do a little traveling before cotton.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, it's hard to realize that my last night in the Bailey boarding house.
We're sure going to miss you, George.
Oh, I'm going to miss you too, Pop. Hey, what's the matter? You look tired.
Oh, I had another tussle with old Henry Potter today.
Well, I thought when you put him on the board of directors, he'd ease up.
Well, so did I.
I just can't understand a man like Mr. Potter. He can't begin to spend all the money he
has. I guess Potter owns about everything he wants in Bedford Falls except our building and loan. That's why he hates us.
Hey, George, can I borrow your tuxedo studs?
Yeah, help yourself, Harry.
Well, where are they, in your suitcase?
I'm not taking a tuxedo on a cattle boat, you know.
Say, where'd you get that suitcase anyway?
Oh, Mr. Gower, going away present. And one of these days you're going to see that bag all covered with travel labels. Italy, Baghdad, Samarkand.
Going to have a pretty full summer, eh?
I'm going to have a pretty full life.
Hey, why don't you come to the dance tonight?
Why? I'd be bored to death.
Well, you couldn't want a better death. Lots of pretty girls. Hey, I got to hurry.
I wish we could send Harry to college with you, George.
Oh, we've got that all figured out now, Pop. He'll take over my job at the building and loan, work 4 years like I did, and then he'll go.
Well, he's pretty young for that job.
Well, no younger than I was.
Maybe you were born older, George.
Huh?
George, when you get out of college, I don't suppose you'd come back to the building and loan.
Oh, no, no, Pop, I just couldn't. I couldn't face being cooped up the rest of my life in a shabby little office. I'm sorry, Pop. Now, I didn't mean that, but it's just this business of nickels and dimes. I'd go crazy. I want to do something big, something important.
In a small way, we are doing something important, George. In that shabby little office, we help people figure out how they can own their own homes.
I know, Pop. I just wish I felt that I just feel like if I didn't get away, I'd bust.
You're right, boy. You get yourself an education, then get out of here.
Oh, Pop, you want a shock? I think you're a pretty great guy.
Well, thanks, George. I'm glad to hear it. Look, why don't you go on over to Harry's dance? You'd have a good time.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it will drop in. Yeah, maybe it will at that.
So, George Bailey went to a dance. Is that important, Joseph?
Why, it was at the dance he met Mary Hatch.
Oh.
And 3 hours later, he was walking her home. George and Mary were feeling pretty good, Clarence. As a matter of fact, wonderful.
Buffalo gal, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Buffalo gal, can't you come out tonight? And dance by the light of the moon.
Oh, hot dog. Oh, boy, just like an organ.
At least.
Hey, you know something? If it wasn't me talking, I'd say you were the prettiest girl in town.
Well, why don't you say it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I will. Hey, how old are you anyway?
18.
18?
Too young or too old?
No, it's just right. It sort of fits you. Hey, look where we are.
Hmm? Oh, the old Granville house.
Yeah, I got to throw a rock.
Oh, no, don't. I love that old house.
Well, no, don't you know about deserted houses? You make a wish and then throw a rock.
George, but it was such a lovely old place. I wish I lived there.
In there? I wouldn't live in it as a ghost. Now, watch. What's this? Here we go. How about it, huh? Pretty good shot, huh? Broke a window, huh?
What'd you wish, George?
Oh, I don't know. Not just one wish, a whole hatful. Mary, I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. And then I'm coming back here and go to college and see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields and skyscrapers 100 stories high and bridges a mile long. And then I'm going to... Hey, Mary. What is it you want? What do you want, huh? You want the moon? All you got to do is just say the word now.
Okay. The moon, I'll take it. Then what?
Then what? Well, then you could swallow it. And it'd dissolve like an aspirin, you know. And the moonbeams would shoot out of your fingers and the ends of your hair. And you think I'm talking too much?
Yes, why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
How's that?
Youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Why? Hey, just a minute, mister. Hey, you come back here, I'll show you some kissing
George,
if you want it.
George!
Hey, Uncle Billy, look here. I'm going to kiss Mary. Watch.
George, get in the car quick. Your father's had a stroke.
What?
George, get in. Hurry.
Well, George's father died that night, Clarence. So, of course, George couldn't go to Europe. But that fall, just as he was ready to leave for college, the directors of the building and loan had a meeting. They were going to appoint a successor to Mr.
What was that you said, Mr. Potter?
I said as long as Peter Bailey's dead, let's dissolve the building and loan. We don't need it.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, you wait a minute. Peter Bailey was not a businessman. Ideals without common sense can ruin a town. What do we get? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class.
Hold on, Mr. Potter.
I meant no disrespect, George, but...
Oh, wait a minute here. Why my father ever started this cheap penny-ante building and loan, I'll never know. But just remember this, Mr. Potter, this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and the paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him. But to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, in my book, Mr. Potter, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book, George. I'm talking about the building and loan.
You're talking about something you can't get your fingers on that's galling. That's what you're talking about. Well, this town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place where people can borrow a few dollars without crawling to you. Now, come on, Uncle Billy.
What happened, George?
Yeah, all we heard was a lot of yelling.
Boy, oh boy, you should have heard George.
Yeah, they're in there voting us out of business.
Oh, who cares? I can get another job. I'm only 41.
45.
Well, you get out of here, George. You missed your boat trip. Do you want to miss college, too?
George, we've just voted Potter down. We're still in business.
Whoopee! We're still in business! We're still in business!
But there's one condition, George. They've appointed you to take your father's place.
Appoint me? But I'm going to college. Look, this is my last chance. Uncle Billy's your man.
George, you've got to take it. They'll vote with Potter otherwise. They said so. They even...
I know. George Bailey didn't go to college.
That's right, Terrence. He gave his college money to Harry. Harry went instead.
But what happened to that good-looking girl, you know, Mary?
Oh, George saw her now and then. Not very often, though, because Mary went away to school, too. Anyway, George waited 4 years more for Harry to come back and take over the building and loan. He could still see the world. He planned to work in the oil fields, Venezuela. Except when Harry came home, he wasn't alone. There was a girl with him, his wife.
George?
Yeah, I'm out here on the porch, Mother. I just thought I'd get some air.
Well, how How do you like your new sister-in-law?
Oh, she's swell.
Looks like she can keep Harry on his toes.
Yeah. Yeah, I keep him out of Bedford Falls anyway.
What do you mean?
Well, Ruth's father, he's got a wonderful job for Harry up in Buffalo.
Buffalo? Well, that means you...
Yeah.
You can't...
Yeah.
George, did you know Mary Hatch is back from school?
Hmm? Yeah, yeah.
Nice girl, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, stop grunting.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one good reason why you shouldn't call on Mary.
Well, Sam Wainwright. Sam's crazy about Mary.
Well, she's not crazy about him.
Well, now, how do you know that? Did she discuss it with you? How did...
Besides, Sam's away in New York.
Oh, and all's fair in love and war. I see. Okay, Mother, I think I'll go out and find that girl and do a little passionate necking.
Oh, George.
Goodbye, Miss Bailey. By the way, do you want any books at the library?
Library? George! George, you go and see Mary. Do you hear?
George, is that you out there?
Oh, hello, Mary.
Well, are you coming in?
I just happened to be passing by here.
Oh, I thought you were picketing. Have you made up your mind?
How's that?
Have you made up your mind?
About what?
About coming in. Your mother just phoned. She said you were coming over.
My mother just phoned? What does she mean, Carla? I just happened to be passing by, that's all. I didn't...
Well?
Well, I'll come in for a minute, but I didn't tell anybody I was coming here. You feel I can't go out for a walk nowadays without you. When did you get back?
Tuesday.
Hmm. Where'd you get that dress?
Do you like it?
It's all right.
Well, no point standing here on the porch. Come on in.
I still can't understand it. I didn't tell anybody I was coming here, you know.
Would you rather leave?
Well, no, I don't want to be rude. Sit down for a while.
It's nice about your brother and Ruth, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's all right.
Don't you like her?
Well, of course I like her. She's a peach.
Oh, just marriage in general you're not enthusiastic about, hmm?
No, no. Marriage is all right for a lot of people. It's all right for Harry and Sam Wainwright, and you.
For Sam?
Harry?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
What's he want?
I don't know. What do you want?
Me? Not a thing. Not a thing, and I just came in to get warm.
He's making violent love to me, Mother.
You just tell him to go right back home. Sam said he'd call you tonight from New York, didn't he?
I guess so. How about some music?
You know, your mother needs... You know, I didn't come here to...
What did you come here for, then?
I don't know. You're supposed to be the one with all the answers. You tell me.
Oh, why don't you go home?
I don't know why I came here in the first place. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, the way you're shouting, you'd think that...
You'd think what? All right, I'll get it. George, on your way out, would you mind turning off the phonograph?
I'd be very happy to. Doggone crazy song.
Hello? Sam?
Mary! Gee, it's good to hear your voice.
How are you, Sam?
I forgot my hat.
Hee-haw.
What?
Oh, I was just talking to an old friend of yours, George Bailey.
Oh, Mossback George?
Old Mossback George.
Well, put him on. I'll talk to him, too.
Wait a second. George!
He doesn't want to speak to George.
He does so. He asked for him.
Why'd you call me? Because if you're... I'm in a hurry.
Sam wants to talk to you.
Oh.
Hiya, Sam.
Hey, fine pal you are, trying to steal my girl.
Now, what do you mean? Nobody's trying to steal anybody's girl. Here, Mary, take the...
No, wait, George. I want to speak to you both. Tell Mary to get in the extension upstairs.
He says for you to get on the extension upstairs.
I can't. Mother's on the extension.
I am not!
We can both hear, George. Just put your head a little closer.
What?
Yeah, that's better. We're listening, Sam.
Well, I have a big deal coming up that's going to make us all rich. George, remember that time you told me about making plastics out of soybeans?
Soybeans? Yeah. Soybeans, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
my father's checked into it, George, see? And now he's going to put up a factory. How do you like that?
A factory, huh?
And here's the point, George. I may have a job for you unless you're still married to that broken-down building and loan. Oh, Mary?
I'm here.
You tell that guy I'm giving him a chance of a lifetime. Do you hear?
He says it's the chance of a lifetime.
And give me that phone.
Here's George again, Sam. George.
Now, you listen to me, Mary. I don't want any plastics, and I don't want any job, and I don't want to get married ever to anyone. Do you understand that? I want to do what I want to do, and you're not going to trick me. And you're... Mary.
George.
Mary. Oh, Mary, darling, I love you, Mary.
So George Bailey and Mary Hatch were...
Yes, George and Mary were married. Mm. And they started off on their honeymoon in Ernie Bishop's taxicab.
Hey, where are you two going on this here now honeymoon?
We're going to shoot the works, Ernie. A whole week in New York, a whole week in Bermuda, the highest hotel, the oldest champagne, the hottest music, and the prettiest wife.
So you're finally getting out of Bedford Falls, huh? Then what?
Then what, honey?
After that, who cares?
That does it. Hey, you know, Mrs. Bailey, I haven't kissed you.
Hey, George, there's something funny going on over there. Look, look over there at the bank. It looks like a run.
All right. Pull over a minute, will you, Ernie?
George, let's not stop. Please, let's go straight to the
station. Now, wait a minute. I better see what it is. I'll be right back.
George, please. George!
In a few moments, we'll return with the second act of It's a Wonderful Life, starring James Stewart, Donna Reed, and Victor Moore.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
This is Bird Note. Kereru, green-blue pigeons native to New Zealand, like to sun themselves after a good meal. Kereru have a distinct preference for fruit. In fact, many local trees depend on these pigeons. They're the only birds left that can both ingest and pass the seeds from the fruits of many native trees. But in warm summer months, the bird sunbathing has a surprising side effect. A part of their digestive system, called the crop, stores their latest snack, where it begins to ferment. The birds, in essence, brew their very own batch of boutique throat wine. The rotund creatures often get so tipsy that they fall out of trees, prompting compassionate Kiwis, New Zealanders, not the birds, to deliver them to local bird rescues and let them sober up. One manager said it was ridiculous. People were bringing armfuls of these flaming drunk pigeons. In 2018, the citizens of New Zealand voted the Kereru as Bird of the Year. Perhaps conservation organization Forest and Bird described the species best. That absolute unit, the roundest boy, the devourer of fruit, the whooshiest of whooshes. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
Act two of It's a Wonderful Life, starring Jimmy Stewart as George, Donna Reed as Mary, and Victor Moore as Clarence. Well, we're back in heaven again, where the superintendent of angels is reviewing the case history of a mortal named George Bailey. Clarence, the apprentice angel, is very eager to depart on his mission to the earth.
Poor George Bailey. Oh, he's certainly in desperate trouble, Joseph. I'll go to him at once.
Now, you sit down, Clarence. Sit down. We're nowhere near the point where George Bailey's thinking of taking his life.
We're not?
Now, where were we? Yes. George and Mary had just started out on their honeymoon when they ran smack into the financial panic of 1932. In the waiting room of the building and loan, 100 frantic people were clamoring for their savings.
Hey, what's going on, Uncle Billy? What's happened? All those people out there.
This is a pickle, George.
All I know is the bank called our loan an hour ago. I had to hand over all our cash.
Holy mackerel.
Whole town's gone crazy. Bank's in the same spot we are.
Our charter, too.
What about our charter?
Our charter says we have to stay open until 6 p.m. The state can take away our license if we don't.
How can we stay open till 6 without any money? George, where are you going?
Out to talk to those people. Come on. Now, please, folks, just a minute.
How about our money, George? Where's our money?
Well, come on, now, please. Wait a minute. Now, listen to me. Now, you're thinking of this place all wrong. Your money's not here. Wait a minute, now. Let me tell you. Your money's in people's houses. In the Kennedy house and the McLaren house and in your house and 100 others. Now, what are you going to do? Foreclose on them?
I got $240 in shares. Now, let me have it.
All right, Charlie. Now, you'll get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
Well, now, look, that's what you agreed on when you bought your shares.
I got my money.
Old man Potter's taking over the bank. He'll pay you 50 cents on every dollar.
Then let's take our shares to Potter. Half is better than nothing.
Now, wait a minute. Please, folks, I beg of you not to do this. If Potter gets hold of your shares, he'll be owning this building and loan. And he's got the bank, he's got the bus line, he's got the department stores, and now he's after us because he wants to keep you living in his shacks and paying the kind of rent he decides to charge. Now, we can get through this thing, all right, but we've got to stick together. We've got to have faith in each other.
My husband's out of work. We need money.
I've got doctor bills to pay.
I can't feed my kids on save.
How much do you need? We still got some money.
Hey, Mary.
Here it is, George. You told me to hold on to it. Would have made a nice honeymoon. Bought furniture, too.
I know. Wait a minute. Folks, listen. I've got $2,000. All right, Charlie. How much do you need?
$240.
No, Charlie, now listen, just enough to tide you over.
I said $240.
Okay. Uncle Billy, give Charlie $240. All right, Ed, now, how much just to get by on?
Oh, $20, I suppose.
Now you're talking. Now you, Mrs. Thompson, how about you?
$20 will do me.
Good. $20, Uncle Billy. Pay it back when you can now. Pay it back when you can. All right. Who's next?
Look at the clock. Look.
5 seconds. 4 seconds, 3, 2, 1.
6 o'clock, we made it. Lock that door, Eustace, quick. Boy, we're still in business, Uncle Billy. We even got $2 left,
George, there's a call for you.
Okay, and then call my wife, will you? She's probably over at Mother's.
Mrs. Bailey's on the line.
No, I don't want Miss Bailey, I want my wife. Mrs. Bailey. Miss Bailey, that's my wife. Give me the phone, will you? Hey, Mary, listen, Mary, I'm sorry. I come home, what home? Well, 323 Sycamore. Well, whose home is that? What? Well, Mary, how can I... Well, sure, all right, sure, I'll be there.
Clarence, guess what 323 Sycamore was?
His mother-in-law's house, huh?
Oh, no. Number 323 Sycamore was the old Granville house, the one George threw rocks at and made wishes. Yes, sir, that's where they spent their honeymoon. That's where they started housekeeping. They were still living there 2 years later when old man Potter asked George to stop over at his office.
Sit down, George. Sit down, do. Have a cigar?
Well, thank you, sir.
George, you're a young man, married, making, say, $40 a week at the building and loan.
45.
45. Now, if you were some ordinary yokel, I'd say you were doing fine. But George Bailey is intelligent, ambitious. He hates the building and loan almost as much as I do. He's been dying to get out of town ever since he was born, but he's trapped. Trapped into frittering his life away, playing nursemaid to a lot of garlic eaters. Do I paint a correct picture, George, or do I exaggerate?
Well, what's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point is that you're the only man in town who has licked me. George, I want to hire you. Manage my affairs. I'll start you off at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year? Hey, you sure you're talking to me? I'm George Bailey. Don't you remember me? The building and loan, remember?
Yes, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, providing he has sense enough to climb aboard.
Well, but what about the building and loan?
Confound it, man. I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year. Is it a deal or isn't it?
No. The answer's no, doggone it. If you offered me $1 million to stay around this town and play stooge to you, the answer'd still be no. Now, let me alone. Don't bother.
George, what did Mr. Potter want?
Oh, it's nothing. He just talk. It's nothing. Oh, gee. Mary Hatch. Mary, why in the world did you ever marry a guy like me, anyway?
To keep from being an old maid.
I was going to see the world. I was going to build things. I was going to give you the moon.
What have I given you? What have I given you? Not even a new dress, not for months.